Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so very much for that wonderful song. Take your Bibles this morning. Let's turn to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. We'll read a few verses in just a moment or two. I want to thank Sharon and Rick Crow for the placing of the flowers that you see in front of me or below me in front of you. And it's in honor of their 40th wedding anniversary. Amen. So we're excited about what God has done these many years in their lives, and we thank you as well. And if you'd be interested in placing flowers in honor of someone or a memory of a loved one, you can see the church office, and I'd be more than happy to give you all the information needed for that. And so we thank you, people that periodically do that as well. Well, let's look here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we're going to read verse number 1 down through verse number 7 in just a moment or two. In just a couple of weeks, we're going to begin our Grace Giving Missions Conference. I'm excited about that. Boy, we have some great missionaries coming to be a part of our conference. We have a new speaker, Dr. Lancaster, coming for the very first time here at Sharon Baptist Church. He's a veteran missionary. He's been working with the military over in Europe for a great number of years. He was a pastor to the military in Germany for a great number of years for him and his wife Dottie, but illnesses is not going to allow Miss Dottie to be here with us, and we're sorry about that. I look so forward to meeting her, but we're going to have a great conference, and the Lord willing, say amen. So you stop back by there, and what Pastor James has spoken about, those little gifts, those gift cards, that might seem just something small to you and I, and it is a small sacrifice, and sometimes a large sacrifice, but the truth of the matter is, it means so very, very much to those people that we're giving these gifts to. And we had a wonderful time last year when we ate in the fellowship hall, and we had each family come up one at a time, and we presented them with the gifts that you had given. And just it was a blessing to this pastor's heart, and I know to their hearts as well. So you give very generously. I can promise you this, you can never outgive God. Your sacrifice may go unnoticed by me. It may go unnoticed by other people in this church, but your sacrifice and giving does not go unnoticed by God. Amen. He takes account of everything, including yourself, that you give to Him. So we're going to be looking at this idea of this matter of grace giving as we think about this idea of the preparation of grace giving, the preparation of grace giving. If you found your place, let's stand as I give respect to God's word in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We'll read as we get started this morning, verses 1 through verse number 7. 2 Corinthians 8, verses 1 through 7. Let me just remind you before we do that, because I know I'll forget, that please don't forget next week is homecoming. Some of you have signed up to bring a lot of things, and we appreciate that so very much. Mary has asked that you bring crock pots and large amounts, I mean mega amounts, because we not only feed like us people here, there's people that come from all over the place that kind of just go around everybody's homecoming because they know it's free food and good music, amen? And that's okay. We don't mind. We'll preach the gospel to them, amen? Let them come. That's what homecoming is all about. So you just give generously and make and bring it generously. And then as we can ask you, our regular people that are able to do so, please park way to the back like we did for the ladies' conference. You park way to the back and leave our up front spots for those that our visitors and those that might be coming as their homecoming guest as well. So let's read here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abound into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering of the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Again, the Apostle Paul was speaking about the grace of giving. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, with our knee bent, Father, and our heart bowed before you this morning, Father, we just come to you. Oh, Father, I pray that you'll be a help to this preacher as I preach your word this morning. Father, I ask that you would fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Give me that unction from on high, the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And the same power that fills me, Father, may it become the teacher in the hearts of these men and women and boys and girls who are here this morning. Perhaps some have never heard of this idea of grace giving or faith promise giving to missions, Father. And I pray if it's their very first time, Father, you would enlighten their heart to the great importance of this weighty matter. So, Father, I pray for someone that could be here as well that doesn't know Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that you would speak to their heart about their need to trust in Jesus Christ. And then, Father, for those who have to work today, Father, we pray for them. Watch over them, Father. Keep them safe. And those who are sick on their sick bed and perhaps in the hospital, Father, we pray for them. God, give them a speedy recovery that you might bring them back to us very soon. So, Father, we do love you. We do thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. As we look here in verse number 1, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." Now, when you think about Macedonia, I immediately want you to think this, Greece. Think of the country or the nation of Greece. Macedonia was the northern part of the nation of Greece, and Achaia was the southern part. Kind of like Palestine, you have Israel up north, and you have Judah down south. That's the way Greece was divided. Macedonia was the northern part, Achaia was the southern part. So here we find the Apostle Paul is speaking about the churches of northern Greece. And you say, well, who was there? Well, the church of Philippi was there. I think of the church of Berea, and then Thessalonica was there as well. So we see that Paul is referencing a multitude of churches in Macedonia, the northern part of the nation of Greece. So as we set the setting now, gives you proper understanding of who the Apostle Paul is speaking to you, I want you to think about our responsibility. Do you understand that our responsibility to our church today is staggering? God makes it clear to you and I and to other churches that preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that we are to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature according to Mark 16 and verse number 15. I want you to understand that is a staggering amount of work that needs to be done. And with all there is to do and to meet the needs of the local New Testament church, I think about we reach our communities for Jesus Christ. It's easy to put the Great Commission oftentimes on the back burner. And we say, well, I'm all for missions, Pastor, but man, my bus route is a mission. My Sunday school is a mission field. And while that is true, I say yes. Sometimes we let simmer an important thing that we feel is more urgent than other urgent needs. Understand this, that God has designed a plan of grace giving to help fund his plan and his program for world evangelism. And we call that grace giving. Excuse me. You may have heard it called as well the faith promise plan of missions giving. I think grace giving is more the appropriate term, but faith promise is also an appropriate term as well. So as we look at this preparation of grace giving, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse number 1, the process of grace giving. Notice it says in that verse, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." I want you to understand that grace involves a relationship with God. Ephesians 2 and verse number 8, in the first part of that verse, the Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." You see, as we think about this matter of grace in our lives, we have to understand this, that grace involves a relationship with God. Not only about our salvation, but also as we follow through and become a servant for him. Grace is everywhere. You say, well, what is grace, Pastor Dave? Well, I'm glad that you asked, because grace has been described as undeserved and unmerited favor. It's something that we didn't deserve. We don't merit it. We don't deserve it. But God said, I'm going to give it to you anyhow, not because you deserve it, but because I love you, and I'm going to give that to you. As you look here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, you would find that Paul writes about this mention of grace 7 different times. In verse 1, 6, 7, 9, and then verse 19. Then in chapter 9, he mentions it in 8. verse 8 and then verse 14. So we find then this is not just a one-time good thing that he speaks about. He mentions it over and over again on seven different occasions. So grace involves, number one, a relationship with God. But then number two, notice this. Grace involves relationships with others as well. You see, the church in Macedonia was able to be a blessing to the church in Jerusalem. Not only the church in Jerusalem, but other churches as well. The church at Philippi had helped Paul financially on his missionary journeys, and he received this promise. Turning your Bibles over to Philippians chapter number 4. If you think about it this way, Georgia Electric Power Company, that might help you turn right in your Bible, just a few books. Turn to Philippians chapter number 4, beginning in verse number 15. Notice what the Bible said in Philippians 4, beginning in verse number 15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. So here we find, again, the church of Philippi was ministering to the apostle Paul as he went and endeavored to preach the gospel. Look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. You see, here the church didn't only give one time, but Paul says you gave twice to me. And he said, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that it may abound to your account. And I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, notice these words, well-pleasing to God. So we find the Apostle Paul is telling the church, thank you so very much for the gift that you have given me. It enabled me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said it was a sweet smell. It was an acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Then notice verse number 19. We look at verse number 19, and we like to claim this verse. And this verse says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And that is a true verse. But I want you to understand this, that if you claim this is a promise to you in Philippians 4 and verse number 19, it comes on the back half of verses 15 through verse number 18. So listen, Paul was writing, and he says, listen, because you have been so faithful, you give to my necessity once and twice again. He said, because of that, God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because they were faithful in their giving. So we have the process of grace, great giving. Notice in verses 2 through 4, back to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, notice the people of grace giving. In verse number 2, we find that we are to give in spite of our problems. Notice verse 2. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. So we find that, listen, he's not writing to a bunch of people that have a lot of money. He says, listen, there's problems there. There's poverty there. And then we find that in spite of their poverty, in spite of their problems, we find that we are to give. You see, the poverty of the Macedonians is just not something Paul just made up. Secular history records that the people of Macedonia were in deep poverty. You see, the Romans came and they overthrew the country, and they removed just about all the wealth of the Upper Greece and Lower Greece and Achaia as well. And both of those parts of Greece were in very, very deep poverty. So we are to give in spite of our problems. We are to give in spite of our poverty, and also we are to give in spite of our prosperity. I once heard a pastor tell this. He was speaking to a man about his giving to the local church, and he said, well, pastor, I just can't afford to tithe. And he says, well, I don't mean to be nosy, but he said, how much do you bring home every week? He said, well, I bring home $1,000 a week. That's my gross. That's my gross pay. And so he said, okay. He said, then your tithe ought to be $100 a week. And he said, well, I can't afford $100. And the pastor said, well, I tell you what, how much can you afford to tithe? And he told him amount, and he said, okay, I'm going to pray that God reduces your income. So with that amount, it's 10% of, he said, no, don't do that. Listen, my friends, so we ought to give in our poverty, but also give in our prosperity. And if you are a born-again child of God, you have to understand this, that any prosperity that you have really is not from your hands, although you did the work. It comes from God the Father, Heavenly Father, that loves and delights to give his children gifts and meets our needs. So we are to give in spite of problems and give in spite of prosperity and poverty. But notice in verse number 3, we ought to give with power. Notice verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, beyond their power, they were willing of themselves. You see, the churches of Macedonia, the Bible says, were to give to their power. Keeping in mind, once again, that these people were on the lower end of the economic scale. They represented sacrificial giving. Verse number 12 also talks about sacrificial kind of giving. The church of Macedonia gave beyond their power. And this is the classic text that the proponents of faith promise missions giving, and me and you as well, or what we call today grace giving. And it speaks really of just trusting God to help you get an amount that you're going to give during the next missions year, which, by the way, begins in November of this year all the way through the end of October and the year in the year 2020. And so that is what this is speaking about. So rather than depend upon your ingenuity, rather than try to figure out how much I'm going to give, we are to depend upon our enabler. You say, well, who's our enabler? Well, look over to chapter number 9 of 2 Corinthians and verse number 8. We find who our enabler is. Who are we to depend upon to determine this amount? Well, the Bible says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. So here we find who our enabler is. It's not up to you and I to figure out where this money is going to come from. It's up to God. He is our enabler, having ye abound in sufficiency in all things. You see, oftentimes I think this, when we get our grace giving cards and we're praying about the amount, we look at our budget and then we say, well, okay, I can afford to give $100 a month a week to missions. Let's just go big. $100 a week to missions. That's what my budget said. Understand this. That's not grace giving. That's not what this is talking about. Listen, if that's what you think, you can understand this, that you are being the enabler. You see, we are not our own enabler. God is our enabler. Grace giving is saying, okay, God, I'll give whatever amount that you speak to my heart about. Whether we think it's poverty, whether we think it's riches, you're depending upon the Lord to provide that amount to you. And that's what grace-giving missions is all about. The account of the widow's giving in Luke chapter number 21 in verses 1 through 4 illustrates this same point. You remember that story. The widow gave two mites, and she gave according to her ability. She had two mites. Guess what? It was in her ability to give the two mites. She dropped those two mites in, and Jesus basically said this, that she'll be remembered throughout the world and history for what she has done. But understand, not only did she give of her ability, because she gave all that she had, she gave beyond her ability. She gave all that she had. She could have gave one mite, and that would have probably been pleasing to the Lord. But no, she gave all she had. Because she gave all she had, she gave beyond her ability. What was she doing? She was trusting the enabler. She was trusting God to meet the needs in her life. And that was the same principle that Paul was telling that was evident in Macedonia. He was telling them, you have given not only what you can give, but you gave beyond that, trusting God to meet the need in your life. Well, we ought to give with power beyond our ability, and we ought to give with prayer in verse number 4. Praying with us much entreaty that we should receive the gift to take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You see, if you look at this passage and really break this down, begin to look at it, they pleaded with Paul to take their money. Now listen, I've been saved for over 25 some years now, ministering the gospel for about the same amount of time. Understand this, not one time has everybody ever come to me and said, Pastor, please take my faith promise. Please take my grace giving. Oh, Pastor, take my money. Oh, please take my money. Not one time has that ever happened. That's apparently what seemed to be happening here. We find that the churches of Macedonia treated Paul. They begged Paul. They said, Paul, would you please take our money to help those poor saints down in Jerusalem? They begged Paul to do that. You know, we kind of have it backwards today, don't we? Missionaries come to our church to basically present their need, and allow me to use this word, they beg us to support them. Now you understand, I know they don't really fall on their knees and they beg us to support them, but that's what they do. Listen, we got it backwards. We ought to be calling them, say, please come to Sharon Baptist Church. We have some money we want to support you so you can preach the gospel throughout all the world. We have a little backwards, don't we? They pled with Paul to allow them to take part in the fellowship of grace giving. That apparently had reference to other churches that were participating, as well as the bond between the giver, the church of Macedonia, and the receiver, the church of Jerusalem. It's important for you and I to understand this morning that the churches in Macedonia also gave Paul support as their own evangelist, as their own missionary. So they supported him regularly on a full-time basis, according to Philippians 4 and verse 15, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse number 9, and 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse number 8, to give you references. This just wasn't something extra. They supported Paul. Paul said there's a need in Jerusalem, and they said, man, Paul, would you take our money down to Jerusalem? There you go. Well, not only do we have the process and the people of grace giving, notice, thirdly, the participation in grace giving. You knew we were going to get to that, didn't you? Look in verse number 5. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own self to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. Notice, and this they did. You know, grace giving is something that everyone can be involved in. You see, when we talk about budgeting giving and giving to missionaries by a budget means, guess what? It's not going to personally affect people. I like this idea of grace giving or faith promise giving because it involves me, it involves my family. We know that as we give to God, to the work of worldwide evangelistic efforts, that it means something. I have a dime in the bucket, so to speak, and I enjoy that, knowing that what I give is going to someone who's doing a great work for God. And I think everyone from the children all the way up to adults ought to be involved in grace giving. You ought to be taught to give very generously in this matter of faith promise, even over and above the tithe. Now I know that you raised your children up, you're raising your children up, you're teaching them to tithe just as you tithe, and I'm all for that. I understand that. We taught, Dad and I taught our children to tithe, but we also told them every year and expected them to pray and seek God's will on what they were going to do for the work of worldwide missions. And as our children got older, listen, their faith promise kept growing and growing and growing. And most of the time, my boys outside of the school year didn't have jobs. We felt it was important for them to study and learn and be faithful to the local New Testament church. And so we didn't really encourage them to work during the school year. Nothing wrong if you allow your children to do that, but that was the way we raised our children. And so we encouraged them to come up with a faith promise, a grace-giving promise that they would give, and every year they would do that. And parents, you ought to teach your children from the very earliest age, when they understand about giving and tithing and saving and monetary value, teach them about grace-giving. Now you say, well, how much is grace-giving going to be for a five-year-old? I don't know. It's between you and God. Maybe it's a nickel. Maybe it's 10 cents. I don't know what it is. But you know what? You need to teach them very early on that their enabler is not you, it's God. And God will provide their needs for that. Grace giving is something in which we are to abound in. Look in verse 7. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. Here we have Paul telling the Corinthian church, listen, you need to abound in this grace. He said you have this grace available in other areas of your life. Giving is not, it's also an area where you ought to abound in as well. The grace of Christian liberty should be a growing grace. And you know, when your children start out, maybe a nickel is a good faith promise for them. But as they get to be 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, a nickel probably is not an appropriate gift for them. Maybe it's a quarter. Maybe it's 50 cents. Maybe it's a dollar a month. I don't know what it is. But we should understand this. The grace of Christian liberty should be a growing grace, growing in this area of giving. The grace of Christian liberty should be on the same level as faith and love that you have. Well, the preparation of grace giving, and then notice in verse number 5, notice the prerequisite of grace giving. See, here is the key to the missionary problem of most churches. Notice what it says. We must first give our own selves to the Lord. Herein lies the problem. Most churches don't have financial problems. Now, I know there's some churches, literally, that have financial problems, but by it all, most churches don't have a financial problem. Most churches that believe they have a financial problem is the result of a heart problem. You tell me the percentage of what a person gives to the Lord by their tithes, offerings, grace giving, and whatsoever, and I'll tell you what kind of heart problem they may or may not have. I'm reminded what the Lord said in Matthew 6 and verse number 21. He says, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And so, my friend, most churches today don't have a money problem. It's a heart problem. How can you have churches with 2, 3, 100, or 50 people and really not have enough money to sustain the work and operation of God and take care of the pastor and do outreach? Why is that? It's because there's a heart problem, not a financial problem. And if everyone would first give of themselves and everyone would understand that where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, my friend, there would probably be no financial problems in any church. See, our Lord is really looking for yielded vessels to do his work. Turn to the book of Romans. Turn left in your Bible, Romans chapter number 6. The Lord really is looking for yielded vessels to do his will and his work. You say, well, what are yielded vessels? That's me and you, those that have been born again, seeking to do the will of God. Let's look in Romans chapter number 6 and verses 11 down through verse number 13. That's all God wants. You see, God understands this. God doesn't desire your money. He knows this. If he has your heart, he'll have your money as well. Notice what it says in Romans 6, beginning in verse number 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instrument of righteousness unto sin, but yield ourselves unto God. Remember, our Lord is looking for those yielded vessels to do his will. And then it goes on to say, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members of as instruments of righteousness unto God. We find that our Lord desires us to have a yielded heart. And it's something like this. You say, God, I just want to do what you have me to do. I just want to give what you have me to give. So God, would you speak to my heart about what you would have me to give for the work of worldwide missions in and through Sharon Baptist Church through the missions year, November 19th through October 19, 2020. We find that Paul mentioned that people not only give themselves unto the Lord, but notice what he says. He says, unto us by the will of God. Unto us by the will of God. Now, the Expositor's Bible Commentary makes mention of this passage, and this is what they said. They recognize that dedication to Christ involved dedication to his service and to the dedication to them that was in reality service for Christ, and all was part of God's will. So basically, the Expositor's Bible Commentary is saying this. Although this the funds didn't go to God. It went to his servants who were doing God's will. And by giving to his servants doing his will, you as well are doing the will of God. Well, giving, my friend, is just a matter of our heart. The preparation of grace, giving, involves yielding our hearts to Jesus Christ, walking in the Spirit, and involves obeying his word. So I wonder this morning, are you going to be willing to be obedient to Christ? Are you going to yield yourself to the Lord of Jesus Christ? I trust that you will. We saw this morning the preparation of grace giving. You come back tonight and we'll finish this message. We'll look at the performance of grace giving in verses 9 through verse number 10. You see, it's all about you. It's all about you yielding yourself to God's perfect will for your life. You say, oh, I knew I shouldn't have came to this church. They're preaching on money again. Listen, we don't hardly ever preach on money. We preach on grace giving once a year. We have a grace giving conference. And that really, that money that comes in for grace giving doesn't even benefit the church. It does in this simple way that as you give it through Sharon Baptist Church and we send it out, you're blessed. We're blessed as a church. So that doesn't even financially bless or benefit this church in any way, shape, or form. Everything that comes in is earmarked for missions and goes out to the missionary work here at Sharon Baptist Church. And perhaps once every year or two, we do preach on tithing and giving. But understand this, that if God has your heart and if you're yielded to him, there's no money problems in the church. There's only problems, heart problems, when we don't do what God would have us to do. Let's pray. Father, we love you this evening and we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your love to us. Father, I am so thankful for this couple of chapters here in 2 Corinthians. Father, through this preparation of grace giving, we saw the process. We saw the people that were involved. We saw the participation of grace giving. And we noticed the prerequisite that we need to give ourselves first. So, Father, as we would close out this service today, I pray, Father, you begin to stir the hearts of your people that are here. And, Father, we're not asking those who are just visiting here at Sharon Baptist Church to participate in this giving. This is for those who call Sharon Baptist Church their home. It's for those who have united with Sharon Baptist Church through membership, Father. We're asking them to just do the Lord's will and bidding in their life. So, Father, we love you. We thank you. We seek, Father, for you through the Holy Spirit of God to challenge someone's heart about their need to be saved. Father, help them to understand the true reason why that we teach and preach on grace giving, because we desire the gospel of Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, to go forth out into a lost and dying world, that others might hear about the hope that we have inside of ourselves, Father, and by placing their faith in Christ, receiving that forgiveness that he alone provided for them on the cross of Calvary, Father, they can enter an eternal rest with him up in heaven when they leave this earth and enjoy an abundant, filled life here on this earth. So, Father, save the lost, strengthen the hearts of your children, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand to our feet, please, with every head bowed closed, no one looking around this morning.